confidence in that process. So that's really his role. That's why his title, I think the title, official title is Fair Campaign Coordinator. But it's really, I would say, yeah, like a co-manager for, you know, determining how we respond to campaign violations. So, and there haven't been any yet. So reported to me as of now.
May I follow up? Thank
sorry?
You for, I have a, I don't know whether his role has been delineated in writing.
Yes, in my contract. Yes, it has been.
So is that something that we, the public, have access to?
I was asked actually if Pacifica could post it online, and it's publicly available now. Whether or not it's been posted, like for the great wider public, I'm not sure. But anybody who's on the LSB or PNB has access to my contract because it was shared at the PNB meeting. So before this even started. So yeah. Let's move on.
May I just, it's Susan Young, and I'm a member of the Elections Committee, and I'm glad to see a lot of people who are on the Elections Committee who are participating on this call. And I wondered, Madam NES, if you might give people the opportunity to identify themselves as being part of the Worker Bee team.
Sure. Yeah. So I did, and I'm not sure, probably because you jumped off and jumped back on. I basically wanted, just so that I keep track of everything here, I'm going around in order of how the names appear to me to ask each person if they have a question, and then to identify themselves if they are part of the election committee.
I was off because my audio wasn't working. Thank you.
No problem.
Can I just jump in and say, this is Myla again, that I am a member of the Elections Committee. I didn't identify myself before.
Great. Thank you. Wonderful. Okay, so let's go to the next one I have here. I have Stanley Blackwell. If you have a question, please unmute yourself and ask your question and let us know if you're part of the Elections Committee. Otherwise, you can just stay muted, and I'll move on to the next person. All right. Janet Coburn, if you want to unmute yourself, if you have a question, and if you're part of the, let us know if you're part of the Elections Committee also.
Yeah, hi. No, I'm not part of the Elections Committee. So apparently the PNB has a different understanding of the extensions than you described. Can you address that?
Yeah, I was pretty clear before the last PNB meeting that, you know, there's no reason for us to extend anything at this point in time. And the thing is, the PNB, from my understanding, is they just put forward a motion to support if I decided to do an extension. And that's was basically my understanding of that. Now it's a kind of, you know, the timeline has already been determined. And just like in the past, you know, we set the deadline and we're not going to extend it unless we have to. And that's what has been done in the past. We've never preemptively extended. So. Right.
But, there was something in the motion about extending to July 31st and.
Yeah, that's not going to be possible. If anything, we'd extend for 2 weeks, but definitely not 31 days.
Right. And based on what, in the bylaws would you be extending?
Sorry, there's right now the timeline follows the bylaws. If we move the record date, we'll actually not be following bylaws anymore, because, and it's happened in the past, you know, that's not necessarily, the hugest of issues, but the thing is we have more, practical, pragmatic reasons to not shift everything forward. There's a cost issue. There's vendors that have already been contracted, or at least preliminary, you know, they have us on their schedule. to start ballots going out on August 15th. There has to be a 45-day period, I believe it is, between the closing of the nominations phase and when ballots go out. I believe it's 45 days. I might be mistaken by, it's either, I believe it's 45 days. Hence the determination of, you know, that date when the first date that the ballots go out, right? So we count that time frame. So if everything gets shifted, we're just gonna keep shifting forward. And then, you know, in the past, it's not a good idea to keep shifting things unless we absolutely have to. And we absolutely have to if we don't have enough people running. And that's my, you know, that's my position.
So you're saying to the change in the record date violated the bylaws and you're not going to do that, or you might?
No, I wouldn't change the record date. No.
Yeah.
But I can extend the nominations phase for a couple of weeks to allow more people to participate. But I wouldn't change the record date.
Even if the PNB instructs you to?
I don't know if they can instruct me to. There's no reason at this point in time for us to shift anything forward, you know? But
okay.
I'm not understanding where there's a justification to try to force me to extend anything when we still have 2 weeks for people to file their paperwork, which has actually been simplified. It's literally just filling out your profile and writing a candidate statement. So it's really easy. And it's up, you know, it's up, the bylaws have a clear timeline and I'm trying to stick to that timeline as much as possible. And I'm acting independently from the PNB, right? That's one of the points of bringing someone outside, on board. So, okay, let's keep going. I'm going to just go again in order that I have here. The next person I have on my list here is, Darlene. Pagano?
Hi, I have a couple of questions. I can do them quickly. I'm on the PNB as a staff representative for KPFA, so I'm on that LSB as well. Okay. Is Stephanie Wells not going to be on this call?
She is on this call.
Okay, I just didn't know that. How are you defining unpaid staff? I asked because I was forwarded an email from you that asked a WBAI, candidate if they have a show on the air right now. And you said, otherwise you're not an unpaid staff member. And my question is, unpaid staff does many jobs in the station. They're just not always, or not mostly always, on-air personalities that produce their own show.
Right. So the way that unpaid staff is defined to separate it out from, for example, phone room work, like if pledge.
I understand why that's not included.
So anything related to programming work counts. Now,
well, what about being an engineer?
Let me talk, because I know who you're talking about. And I didn't actually ask them that question. I went to management to ask them if this person qualified by the definition of unpaid staff, which is 30 hours of programming related work in the preceding 3 months. So that period of time would be April 1st, 2023 through June 30th. And management is who told me, are the people who told me that this person does.
I am not arguing the person's case.
Right. So
the
just
bylaws do not
clear.
Say programming work. You have added that word into the bylaws. It's Under station management. Work under station management.
Oh, well, then then why aren't we including, the volunteers that work the phones? I mean,
that is a call. They're not staff. There are people who come in for a particular project for a very brief point of time. I would like to not go to that example.
Yeah.
What about board operators? What about
that's programming related work? That's programming related work. Everything that has to do with getting a show to be able to be on the air, separate from the fundraising portion.
Understood.
That's my understanding. And now the thing is, let me bring up something else. You know, the bylaws don't have everything explicitly written and one of these definitions is unpaid staff. There's always been a little bit of gray area around this. So in all the times that I've done this job, we've used that phrase programming related work to distinguish it from someone who's taking calls, for example. And that might have changed since the pandemic because I don't think a lot of people are in person taking calls anymore, right? So that might even need to be updated even further. But there's got to be some weight to what the definition that has been used since the beginning of these elections to capture this group that is somewhat, I don't want to say nebulous, but the edges are not clearly defined.
Right. I'm very interested in unpaid staff being defined as only particular jobs in the station and not the whole panoply of staff jobs in the station.
This is a separate issue right now. It has to do with the election, but it's very specific to the staff election. So let's continue this conversation.
Well, there's a cutoff point. There's a cutoff point. So that's why it is of particular interest. And my point is that the point
of this call is for to open this up to, you know, mostly listener members. Obviously staff, it's important, but this particular definition right now, I don't think it's the right time for us to hammer this out. So I'm writing this down and we can come back to this, but we have to bring the conversation back to something that is more relevant.
Understood. And thank you. Thank you. Because I'm bringing the point up. I didn't think I was going to, you know, get a ruling or something off of this call. I'm bringing it up and thanks
I'll make sure that we continue this, and it's very important, and there's always been an issue. So with defining unpaid staff. So if we can, come to some clarity, this time around, let's do it. Okay. Let's continue on. So, I'm going to skip over Stephanie unless Stephanie wants to jump on for a few seconds. Okay. So moving on, I have James Staggerton. If you want to, introduce yourself and ask a question, let us know whether or not you're on the election committee.
I just joined the call, so I'm not clear on where you're going with this, but,
it's just a Q&A.
Yeah. I get all of that. I just say, I just joined the call and I haven't heard the last 15 minutes of conversation. I will note per the last call, virtually everybody I see whose name is on the list of participants in this call are members of governance or former members of governance. You don't have much in the way of pure listeners on the call. Unfortunate though that may be. Just for your information, that's who's here. Everybody knows me. Most of the people on the list know me. I'm James Staggerton. I'm a listener, delegate at WBAI, currently on the national board, the finance committee chair.
Okay, great. Staggerton. Wonderful.
Let me just say one other thing. Welcome back, Renee.
Oh, thank you. So the next person we have here is, I guess we'll go to, is this, I can't tell because it says connecting to audio. So let's go on to Laura Levinson, and let me know if you have any questions. You appear muted right now. And if you're part of the elections committee or other roles that you take on.
Hi, I'm just here to listen. I'm a listener from and member of KPFK. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So KPFK, wonderful. And if you have any questions, you know, raise your hand with the little icon. Okay. So let's move on. So we have Susan Young. If you want to introduce yourself and if you have a question.
Hello. Yeah, this is Susan Young. I am a member of the Elections Committee. I'm really just listening in. I'm Secretary of the Elections Committee. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And, okay, so Carol, I already asked you, Milo. And next we have Eric Jacobson.
Carol, I just wanted to say.
Oh, sorry, Carol.
Yeah, I didn't. I had just come on when you called on me before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so do you have a question? Are you part of the Elections Committee?
I am.
Oh, and okay.
Thank you, Renee, for jumping in at the last minute and working very hard to get everything set up with the website and the all of the different systems. And I had a couple of questions about, I think for a lot of us, one of the main things now is, you know, the process for getting candidates certified, you know, ready to go. And so I heard you say that there is only, you've streamlined it. So there's only a profile and a statement required. I'm guessing there's also a need to sign fair campaign agreement. And
yes, it's just checking a box pretty much.
So. Okay. And also, there, I'm understanding there is no questionnaire.
No questionnaire.
Okay.
Not this time. Yeah.
Okay. And so, thank you for clarifying that. And so if a person logs in, you know, and fills out the initial form with their contact information and then they get their password and their login, which is usually their email address, then what is the lag time before they are verified as a member, and how is that process working? It seems like some people have got, what happens after somebody submits that form? Then you verify that they're a member, and then you get back to them, and then they can sign in, or is that immediate?
So it's not automated. It does have to be done manually. So basically when somebody signs up, I get a email notification that somebody has signed up. And so then I can log in to the back end myself and see who signed up. And I basically copy and paste that field into another spreadsheet that's shared with the membership departments. And then I tag the individual membership department head, whoever that is. It could be, you know, depends the station to verify that member. And so, because we just started this, I think there was a little bit of lag time, because now it is clear that the membership departments need to be checking that every day. So I think now, you know, basically as of this week through till the end, you know, the membership departments are very clear that without them checking both the prospective candidates and the prospective nominators, we can't move forward. So they have to be on top of it. And they haven't given me any updated lists, so I can't act independently yet on that. So, yeah. But and one thing I did, I sent everybody out, all the candidates. If anybody is having an issue with the system, the online system itself, that they can send me the material and I'll enter it for them. As you know, as a courtesy to just make things smoother. It's not a big deal. So, yeah.
That's good. And So that'll come back to them right away. Do you anticipate that there will be an issue with people's browsers again, that their login information may have been stored in the past?
It's possible. So I would just recommend that people, you know, don't just click enter in terms of accepting that information from prior years, because it will be wrong. It's different every year. I wish we had it streamlined to the point where we had like a dedicated profile for every person, but it's just not the case right now. So I would recommend that people enter, you know, re-enter their password as opposed to relying on the, you know, the automated password.
Thank you.
Server. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a couple other questions if that's okay. What is the criteria for enough candidates? In other words, if there is nine vacancies, a listener and three staff on the local station board, by the 30th, if you have nine people, is that the criteria, or what is your criteria for?
So my criteria is if we have any less than the minimum seats at any of the stations, then we'll extend everywhere. So, you know, looking at the list the way they are right now, you know, I please don't, you know, it just looks like we're going to have to keep the nominations phase open. But the thing is, we don't know. Now, if it just happens to be so, you know, a situation where we have exactly the number of candidates for exactly the number of seats at all stations, I think we'll have to, you know, revisit the question, because I think that should also be a reason to extend, even if we have exactly the number, because essentially we wouldn't have an election at that point, with those people would just be seated, right?
Actually, that might be nice, because it would save a lot of work and money,
but think about it though. It is, you know, it's like, is it really an election if we only have 10 people running for 9 seats, right? It's a bit, that's not really an election either. It is, but it's, so anyway, there,
yeah,
that
I think
question, the cutoff is, you know, something that I think just has to be based on, you know, what is the minimum number of seats? And we want more than that, right? So,
yeah,
I'm going to extend it nationwide the same. So any station that doesn't meet that criteria, we will extend, right? And then at the end of 2 weeks, if we still haven't met that criteria, I have to revisit that, because we know in the past, WPFW, for example, has had issues since the beginning of these elections filling that minimum. So I'm not going to hold up the whole process because one station can't meet that minimum, right? So,
yeah, anyway, my request would be, for fairness, to make sure that the formula is established ahead of time, so that we can ensure neutrality in the process, so that we have a working formula. Okay, if you have 12 people at one station, that's enough. So it isn't like,
well, no, if we have more than the minimum, that's the election, right? But the thing is, because I want to extend it uniformly, the initial extension is going to take every station into account, right? We're going to give everybody an additional 2 weeks if anyone doesn't meet the minimum, right? So I'm not treating any station differently, but I don't want to make some arbitrary cutoff at like, oh, you know, 11 or 10 or 12. I'm not going to do that. Right. It's just whether or not we have the minimum, and if we haven't met the minimum, we extend. Does that make sense? I don't want to make some arbitrary, because exactly as you said, it's like, oh, we only have 12 at KPFA. oh, we need more. Why do we need more? Right? 12 is more, is enough to have an election, right? So, yeah.
Well, I think what people might be concerned about is, you know, looking at, you know, who is, you know, we don't want to have it be related to who, we want to have it be related to the numbers. So by having a formula ahead of time, whatever
right.
that
so the,
is.
Right. I mean, the formula is the minimum number of seats. That's the formula.
Okay.
And if, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the formula. I think anything else is going to be arbitrary because we've never had defined cutoffs beyond the very basic minimum, right? That's understood as the cutoff, right? These are the number of seats to be filled. And, if we have exactly that number, even after the 2-week extension, well, so be it. Does that make sense? I don't want to make some arbitrary cutoff. Yeah.
Yeah. And there is one other comment, that is kind of a question. As I think a lot of people on this call are aware that Pacifica is in a very dire financial situation. And, the National Finance Committee, James is on this call. He could, speak to that, I'm sure, as well as Stephanie has spoken to that in her recent reports. So one of the things that happens with elections is that we get a lot of new members signing up so that they can vote. In order to bring in some needed money, I would hope that there would be a possibility of also extending the time for members to sign up to become members to the 15th, if that's possible. I know that that must involve more paperwork for you, Renee, and, you know, of adding new members after that due date. The problem that I see is the finances of Pacifica right now are so, so serious that it may be helpful for that to be extended. And I know that, you know, maybe you all will be considering that with the PMB, but I just wanted to see if you had any comment about that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that that's my place. I mean, I'm not here to try to drum up more membership, you know, for the foundation. I'm here to carry out the election. And I think that the cost of extending the election is going to exceed how many members you're going to get to sign up in those 2 weeks. I don't think people sign up to be able to vote. Like, I think that's a very small number. So anyone who is really interested in this process, I mean, and I don't want to, ideally, this would be a more inclusive process of, you know, the community as a whole around each station, but we know that it isn't. We know that there's not that much interest. And this year, we started very late. We haven't done the preliminary work to really make it an election where we're going to generate interest on that broad scale, right? So my job is to get this done well without having to add any cost due to extensions, right? There's no guarantee that we're going to get a bunch of people to sign up in those 2 weeks if we move the record date. But what I can say is it definitely will increase the cost of the election.
I see.
So yeah, so it's this trade-off, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, let's move on. Of course. So let's go to, let's see, Myla has already, we have Carolyn Burden.
Yes, hi, thank you. Hello, Renee. I'm glad to see you back. Congratulations. I've always appreciated your attention to the rules and to detail. And I'm happy you're here. I have a question, a suggestion, really. I could remember when the last time was that I had signed up as a member to WBAI, and there is no record when I call in. There's no way to find out by phone or by email whether or not I'm a record and when, what the date of record would be. And I'm suggesting that an awful lot of people might be in my position. So it's not a question of new members. It would be a question of sending out an email blast to everybody on every list who's ever signed up and is on the list, even though their memberships may have lapsed, to remind them of the date that they signed up, if that's possible, and to remember to make sure that they're signed up now so that they can vote. Indirectly, that would be a fundraising attempt, and you say you're not responsible for that, but it does attend to the number of the electorate and how many people are involved. And I really would like, I've been fighting for years to get somebody, anybody, to clean up the membership databases. And it seems to be at some stations, that's an interesting question. Others, it's completely ignored. And I don't know quite what else to do. But I do think the question of the, of an election, people who want to vote only to find out that they're not members, would be a tragedy. And it's not necessary. But since there's an election, could we use that as a reminder to people that they must have signed up for? Now, if you just say that, it'd be a massive request. When did I sign up? I don't recall. And that's the problem. We have no data.
So, the issue is that I don't have any lists yet from the stations. We have a list that includes people who have participated at some point in time from 2018
exactly.
through 2021. That's right. What we have. We have an active list that corresponds to people that were a member
right.
at any point in time from 2018 to 2021. And we have sent out an email blast to that twice now, reminding people to basically renew their membership before the 30th. Now, I understand.
I'm sorry, to which stations have you sent that out? I never received one of those.
You haven't received the ED message, the message from the ED?
I don't recall receiving that. Well, I changed my email address. Maybe that's one issue.
Oh, well, that's probably why, because it might be going to your old email address. So the thing is, for situations like yours, and, you know, we just essentially don't have, I don't have access to those updated records yet. So I'm relying on the stations to basically be communicating to members. And we have carts on the air. We've had them on the air since June 1st. They should be rotating at different times of the day, at a minimum of 3 times a day. And those will be updated. We're adding 30-second spots too to get a little more rotation in. Especially in the last 10 days. So, you know, yeah, that's, I don't really have an answer for you, but if my answer clarified a little bit kind of where, what I'm working with, that's essentially all I can do right now.
You clarify the problem. Thank you. And I'm suggesting maybe that you should make a Hail Mary pass to somebody else at Pacifica that it's time to clean up the list and update them.
I've been trying to send that message every single time I've done this job. So,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah. tell us if you want a sign up sheet of people who agree with you, and I'm sure you get hundreds of replies. Thank you for being in.
Okay, no problem. So let's, if you don't mind, we'll move on to the next question. So I have Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Yes, I have a number of questions. I never received a copy of your contract, so if that could be sent to me, I would appreciate it.
Why?
That everyone on LSBs got it. I didn't.
The PND has it. They, I think that they can determine how they want to share it with the public, with everybody.
I'm on the elections committee, and you said that everyone in the elections committee got it, and I haven't.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is I'm not the right person to ask for it. There are plenty of people who have it. So
next question. is this election going to be for a 2-year period or for a 3-year period? Because the bylaws state that we have elections 2 years on and 1 year off. And so that would be, since we last year we didn't have one, that would require this time being for a 3-year period and next year being for a 3-year period and the year after that being off. But nothing has been said to clarify whether we're running for this election for 2 years.
Sure. So from my understanding, basically, I'm not looking at it in that way. The period of time is by default 3 years. However, there are certain people that are going to phase out because they can't be seated more than 6 years. So at that point in time, when they phase out, those people might have only been seated for a year or 2 years. They're going to have to be replaced by the runners up. That is the way that I'm understanding the situation.
Okay. So you're saying that the people who are seated in December of this year will be seated for a 3-year period unless they are termed out at the end of a 6-year period. That answers.
Yes. I mean, unless somebody else has a better way of figuring this out. But I mean, to my understanding, just to keep things as, you know, in line with the bylaws, even though we're out of line with the bylaws, I think that this is the best way to tackle that. And it's going to be very much on an individual basis in terms of who's phasing out.
I agree with you. I just wanted it to be made clear to everyone, because everyone who's deciding whether or not to run needs to know, are they running for a 2-year period or a 3-year period? And you've answered my question. It just needs to be publicized. My next question, someone already put into the chat, and I'll read what she said. Janet Coburn was saying, regarding local election supervisors, Article 4, Section 4B of the bylaws says, in preparation for an election of delegates, the national election supervisor shall appoint, subject to approval of the executive director, a local election supervisor for each foundation radio station area. Have you followed the bylaws, shall being the operative word, by hiring local election supervisors for each station? And if so, would you add their names and contact information to the election website?
So the issue that we're encountering, and by the way, I don't hire anybody, right? Stephanie hires, she's the ED. So it's upon her decision to hire or not. We don't have the money, period. And for me, I cut everything in half, all the cost in half, mostly because I won't have to go through the whole long process it is to find people who can actually do this job and train them and then supervise them and put out the fires that they create sometimes. So that's a completely, that adds a whole other layer to my job, that by reducing, because we, and also the fact I got only brought on board 1 week before nominations started, right? So we don't have the financial capacity to bring a whole team on. And I am not willing to rush that or just do it to have people there to warp, to just be puppets, you know, because I don't have the time to find the right people to train them. Right. So listen, Eleanor, the bylaws also have been violated because we didn't have an election last year, because we didn't have the money, right? I'm saying we, Pacifica. So this is basically the solution to at least trying to meet, to comply as much as we can, given the financial situation, right? So I don't think people understand how complex it is to find people to do these jobs. Right. And I think honestly, like this is a good example of how we can do things very lean. So anyhow, I do you have another question?
Yes, I do. Why is there no questionnaire this time? And I'll add another question onto that. How would everyone access the previous statements and questionnaires from people who have run in previous elections?
So right now there is no listing. But if you do have access to your prior ballot, and as Carol was writing, the questionnaire is actually not required by the bylaws. It's just a statement and a petition and signing of the fair campaign provisions. To simplify again, to make it easy for people to sign up, we just decided we're removing the questionnaire, for this year. Doesn't mean we can't add it back next year. Right. Or in whoever else is doing the election.
How would I access my previous?
Well, you should have a record yourself, right? I can shift through my right now. That's not my priority to find your statement. If you ran,
I don't have it, but everyone should have access to all of the previous ones so that they can look at what people have said previously.
There's also, perhaps, but again, like my focus right now is not on that, right? It's just right now, this is not really a priority. If people want to run, then they need to write their own statements independently from anybody else. You are a candidate running and you're presenting yourself to people, right? So it should be it's your responsibility to do so, right?
Just in the interest of time, I know you've got a number of hands up, and we're at 4:16.
I'd just like again to point out that by not hiring LESs, those are intended to be five people helping you with what last time what you complained was an overload of work, and if not hiring them gets more legal challenges to the validity of the election, then it's going to cost more money than you would save.
I don't think you understand what hiring
in,
local
in
elections.
Fairness, I hope provide. More people get to ask their questions. Several people have taken a long time, including Eleanor.
Okay, we're going to move on to Kim. I see you have your hand raised. If you want to,
my hand's been up for quite some time. I'm sorry to interrupt, Renee. My hand's been up for quite some time, and you actually
so is mine,
my
Eric.
Four callers.
So is mine, Eric. And I haven't.
Sorry, excuse me, Myla. You've already spoken.
No, this
my
is
hand,
not Myla.
You mentioned
this
my name
Kim.
Five callers ago, Renee. Eric Jacobson. Please get to me soon. Thank you.
Okay. I'll come to you. I'll come to you next. Okay.
I won't take so long. Kim? Thank you. Hi, I'm Kim from KPFK. excuse me. I want to say that the LESs for the last couple of elections have, not been able to be, it's hard to justify needing them again. I applaud your decision, Renee, not to have them. So they were really unhelpful for the last couple of years. You're right. They need to be trained. They need to be there for a long time and we don't have that kind of money. And, I also want to ask, are you going to make reports to the elections committee and the PNB so they're not talking about you and, oh, we need to ask Renee. And maybe at the next PNB or elections committee, you can be there. It would be easier for, everything. And also I recall that we had a similar situation in 2015
where two elections were skipped. And people also extended their terms. And especially at KPFK, we had elections for one term and for three terms. And I think we had to replace everybody at that time on our LSB. So it's possible that at some stations, we're going to need more than nine people. I'm just saying. One other thing, the phone answerers, for example, as volunteers, they are listener volunteers. Anyone who works in production, works under the GM, helping with production is staff. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. So to speak to the, this phasing out issue that we might encounter. So I also want to bring one thing up that actually was pointed out to me. There's no real issue. There's no, like, for example, let's say that a bunch of people phase out and there's no runners up to replace them. There's nowhere in the bylaws that is written that LSBs actually have to have this quantity of people. It's okay if there are fewer people seated on the LSBs for a year, for 2 years, whenever it is that the next time we have an election to fill those seats comes around. Now, WPFW, in effect, has been dealing with that since the beginning, right? Because they just haven't, most of the time, haven't had, you know, enough people to fill the seats. There's no reason for these vacant seats.
No, I understand your point, Renee. Yeah, I understand your point. That's another issue. I just want to say that notwithstanding that, all of the runners up are no longer once an election has been completed. Runners up from the previous election, they're done. We get new runners up after this election is completed.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about of course, it's the runners up to
that,
the election.
I'm just saying, these issues are to be determined, not by me. I'm just saying it's out there. We may need more than nine. That's all. So we can't determine that here today.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you, Kim. And Eric Jacobson?
Thank you, Renee. I'm on the PNB Elections Committee, KPFK, LSB representative there. And I missed some back and forth you had at the beginning of this call about a gentleman whose last name is Dunkerley. Could you repeat what you said in response to, I believe, Myla's question about him?
Yeah. So Craig has come on board to help with managing the Fair Campaign provisions violation complaints, and how we decide to remedy those if they are indeed found to be complaints. So that's going to be his principal role working with me during this election cycle.
When you say come on board as a volunteer or as an employee, or at least a compensated person?
He's mostly volunteer. I mean, I think he's getting a very symbolic amount of money for his time, but it's for as much time as it's going to take. It's, in my opinion, pretty much coming on voluntarily.
Okay. So I've had some dealings with the gentleman. I have some concerns about his neutrality. And I don't know whether you were.
I've worked with him before. Yeah.
When I say neutrality, I'm referring to, you know, the very contentious factional legal and political disputes that have arisen in Pacifica for 3+ years, and he's strongly.
Well, he's not
in
order. It's inappropriate to talk about personnel issues in this meeting. I'm a member of the election committee. We do not talk about personnel matters with people by name.
Well, let me ask one other question then, just for to get a factual understanding, Renee. And let's just agree that that last point is well taken. But at what juncture did this engagement occur? Time-wise, could you just answer that much And then I agree when, to be discussed in a closed environment. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, basically we, you know, before me coming on board, we're discussing how we can basically run this as a lean election, right? As well as how we can, you know, address, people's concerns that I was not neutral, with respect to the way that I've ruled on different, elections violations, for the past round. And so having him on board helps me because he's pretty knowledgeable about the bylaws and I've worked with him before. And while I know, you know, everybody has a certain bias, right? I trust that he acts neutrally. And again, as I said, he's, you know, he's not acting in a vacuum. It's me and him, and he'll, you know, provide me with support in making sure I'm not only aware of the campaign's violations coming in, because sometimes a lot come in all at once and it's good to have someone on board, right? To help me keep track of everything, right? So I think it's a pragmatic as well as a transparency decision, right? So, you know, one could argue we need a 3-person committee, which we actually had during the, I think it was the 2020 referendum. We had a 3-person committee. But I think, you know, so anyway, to let you know, this was before I even came on board, right? This was determined. That's why it's in my contract. So.
Oh, that's news to me. I appreciate this backgrounder. If you're at liberty to clarify one last aspect of this, and then maybe it bears further discussion, not in a Zoom environment. Does the decision making that will occur in reference to these alleged violations when they arise, presumably some will, they always do, you are the decider, so to speak, ultimately, or it's going to be a joint kind of thing requiring unanimity, or are you at liberty to say,
no,
you know, that much?
It's definitely my decision. And he has input, right? He will be able to bring another perspective, right? So,
I see.
But the way we've dealt with violations in the past is there's a form that people register to register a complaint. We have a timestamp, we have a description, and then every single complaint is actually made public along with, you know, essentially the evidence that we follow up with, that we base our decision on. And then there's the decision, whether or not it's considered a violation in the first place and what type of remedy was issued, right? That's always been, or always, ever since I've been doing this, has been the way to make it as transparent as possible. Okay, I think we should move on if you
thank
don't
mind. Thank you, Renee. That's a bit reassuring. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. So let's go on here to, I think I see, I'm just going in order I have on the list here. I have Ziri Rido. I see your hand is up and you are muted. If you don't unmute, I'll just assume and we'll come back to you. Okay. So I'm going to move on to the number that starts in 248-909-2384. You have your hand up.
Yes, this is Beth Van Gunten. Hang on. I have to change my notes. I'm a director from KPFK. I sit on a number of the national committees and local committees, and I chair governance. And
could you repeat your name? Sorry, I didn't get your name.
That's okay. This is Beth Van Gunten. And
Beth Van Gunten.
Got it.
Is there a problem hearing me?
Yes. I just repeated it for you, Beth.
Well, Renee, do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Yes.
Okay. Let me know if this iPhone has taken to spontaneously adjusting its own settings in the middle of things for me. So if I suddenly go blank, just say so and I'll call right back in. So that's okay. I was wondering whether that's what had happened. So thank you. I have a few points, and I'll just lay them all out, and then you can take them up as it makes sense to you. First, I wanted to thank you for what you said about if we extend time for anywhere, we would extend time everywhere. That makes sense to me, and I feel better already knowing that. So thank you. And I lament having to wrestle with the many unfunded mandates in the bylaws embedded into all these very specific requirements for elections. And I understand your need to prioritize. I don't see any other way to get through this. So you have my sympathy. And I lament the loss of 2 of our 3 months to recruit candidates. For me and for the prospects of future delegates, that's a serious impediment. I'm not quite sure how to get around there. I had hoped to be able to start at the beginning of that 3 months and work on that. And there's enough. I have other responsibilities I have to deal with in governance in Pacifica right now. I don't know where I'm going to find the time. And I've got a list of other people I've sat on other boards with, people who've been through board training. I will have to recruit them one by one. And Pacific is kind of a hard sell that way. And to narrow it down to these last 2 out of the 4 weeks really, for me, really cripples my efforts. I just wanted to put that out there. So, you know. And then next, I think this is a request. I think we need, and if it's buried someplace in the Pacifica election site and I just haven't found it yet, then please forgive me and you can just point me in that direction. But I get a lot of questions about who needs to run and which seats are open and how long people don't even remember how long they themselves have served, let alone other people. So I think we need an official public master roster where everyone can go, because that it should list all delegates, all positions, the 120 some at all the different stations, plus who's filling the seat now and what their current status is, whether they have to run again, whether they're eligible to run again, how many years they have left in their term, all of that, because otherwise it leaves it up to all of us to try to cobble together our own list and guess and run the risk of guessing wrong and eating up what little time we have in these efforts. So I would request that the national office or the national election supervisor take that on and please prioritize it. Is there any chance of that?
I think actually somebody actually has sent me a list that to start with. But it's relatively straightforward for each person to figure it out. There are all the results and all the candidates who won up on the website. And would it be a matter of just checking two years, right? It'd be a matter of checking who was elected in the past two cycles. But that being said, that, you know, somebody has actually, and I forget, and I apologize if the person who gave me that list is on the call, sent me actually a draft of a roster, because it is important to have that information, but ultimately it's not my responsibility. But at the same time, if I can fill that gap, I will, and it's necessary. So
if I might respond to that, to expect that each individual delegate or potential candidate would have to work through 2 years of at least 24 positions to try to each of us to figure that out, and really guessing, because our system is complex and it's not always apparent what counts and what doesn't. And I think we need, it's good that someone sent you a starting point. We need a verified official roster that we can all rely on, because otherwise it's going to leave positions open to dispute.
Right. But I do think the responsibility should be the local station board's responsibility to keep track of this record, right? And to actually send it to me. And also it's not that much work for each individual to know whether or not, you know, how many years they've served, right? They should know. And if they don't, they need to remind themselves. Again, to hearken back to this idea that it's the individual response. There's some individual responsibility here.
I know my own status. I'm clear about my own status. I'm clear what I personally need to do. The question is, how many total candidates do we need to recruit? Both to fill the to fill the actual openings and then to have sufficient numbers of runners up to be able to fill subsequent openings until the next election. So it is an individual thing, but it's also a collective thing, an organizational thing. So
sure. But to repeat what I said earlier, right? I mean, we're running this election 9 and 3, right? 9 listeners, 3 staff. And there is, it might happen that we don't have enough. Some people are going to phase out and there might not be enough runners up to take those seats and those seats will stay empty. There's nothing in the bylaws that says that the boards have to be that big. So, you know, if it comes to that, that's just going to be the way it is. But it's not, we're not going to add, you know, a 10th seat or an 11th seat. So to this election, if it's just not, there's no reason to do that.
Sorry, the bylaws say that there have to be 24 LSB members. Article 7, Section 2.
I'll review it, but to my understanding, they don't have not every seat. If somebody phases out, let's say midterm, or somebody dies or something, and there's no runners up to take their place, and it stays empty for 6 months or a year, I don't, you know, until the next election cycle rolls around. I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that it's actually described in the bylaws, those situations specifically.
This is Carol from the Governance Committee. I can say that in the bylaws, it says that if there are not runners up, then the LSB is responsible to elect people to fill those spaces. So, they could leave them vacant. It has happened, but they have the option for the LSB to vote on that to fill those spaces. So, it's my understanding that we're electing 9 listeners and 3 staff people, and anything beyond that will be up to the LSBs and the PMB if they want to change it.
Thank you for clarifying. I had forgotten that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to move on to another call. So I have you as call-in user _1. I'm not sure who you are. I don't see a name. Do you know who you are? You have, it's call-in user _1. Yes, whoever's talking right now.
Might that be me?
Yes, that's you.
Thank you.
Who are you?
Raymond Goldstone, member of the PFK. Right. I must tell you something. I was skeptical begin this election, and your responses to the questions have put salve on my potential wounds. I have a good deal of confidence in your ability to make decisions, and I don't say that very often to anyone, so good luck with that. I will support what you do.
Thank you.
As to these local election supervisors, you've done a very sound thing, along with Stephanie, I would guess, and that is you've brought on, I think, two people, one to assist with these potential violations, and another person whose name I don't know and don't need to know, to assist in other matters. I must tell those of you listening that I hope the NES is permitted to run this election and that the National Elections Committee recognizes that its role is not a management role. It is a policy role. And with that, I wish you all luck. I think we're in good hands, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. All right, so let's move on to the number that's 614-738-3646.
Hi.
Your hand is raised. Yes.
Okay, so yes. I am the chair of the KPFK local board. I very strongly urge and Harvey Wasserman.
Harvey?
Oh, yes.
Harvey, got it.
And I'm the chair, the current chair of the KPFK local board.
Okay.
So I am going to strongly urge, advocate, and vehemently request that we extend this election through the end of July. This is more than an election. It's a fundraising event. And it is also the one chance we have now to reach out to the general community and allow the general community to reacquaint themselves with Pacifica and to have a voice in the governance of Pacifica. This truncated rush job is simply not what Pacifica needs. We can use and must use this election, A, to raise funds, and B, to reach out again to the local community and to the general community. This is Pacifica's last real chance to reconnect with the listening public and the public as a whole. There's absolutely no reason why we cannot extend this election till July 31st, and I strongly advocate that. I also have to say that since 2004, 20 years now, I've been a very committed election protection advocate and activist. We have a Monday Zoom call every week with 60, 70, 80 people that's live cast and rebroadcast on the radio. And it is entirely unseemly to proceed without local election monitors, especially since they're mandated by the bylaws. If you want to have volunteers, that's fine. But given the controversy that's been surrounding our elections at Pacifica, we absolutely need monitors on the local elections and on the national election. This election will decide the future of Pacifica. It will also decide whether we're wise and savvy enough to use the election to reach out to the general public and to use it to raise money. And these are not pledges, these are cash donations, and I can guarantee you that we will garner quite a bit of cash and quite a few new members and do a great community outreach if we extend the election. It is much too close now. There's not enough time to decide the fate of Pacifica. We need an extra month. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May I say,
let me just check that that all the hands have been that have raised. Let me check. Sue, I think Sue Cohen is the last person who hasn't actually been able to speak.
Briefly, Renee.
No.
Harvey was talking about the record date.
Hey.
Thank you.
Regarding what Harvey said.
Yeah, who's speaking? Is this
Sue Cohen-Johnson?
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
it. Okay. Harvey, what event was it that you said that you have every week and is replayed on the air every week? What was that event?
Can I speak? Yes, it's if you'll email me directly, I'll get you the link. It's the Green Emergency Election Protection Coalition Zoom call. We meet from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, 5 to 7 Eastern time every Monday. And this Monday, we'll be having a special session to honor Daniel Ellsberg. But we also deal with election protection issues and also environmental issues such as shutting the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. Thank you for asking me, Sue, and everybody on this call is more than welcome to join, and you can write me at solartopia@gmail.com, and I will send you the link.
Thank you, Sue. Can we keep going with this conversation about elections? We have little time left.
So, Sue, do you have a question?
No.
Okay. All right. So I think I've gotten through everybody that had a question here so far. Let's see if any other hands popped up. Nobody's hand popped up. I still see some hands up, but I'm not sure if you wanted to talk again. So Myla, I think you would be the next one to talk again.
Ziri Rideau?
Ziri hasn't spoken, but let's see.
I do have a follow-up specifically about the election.
Okay, Ziri, are you on? Yeah, I don't see her. I think she dropped off. So let's go back to you, Myla.
Oh, thank you, Renee. I have a couple of questions. One of them has to do, you said that you had eliminated the questionnaire in order to in the process, but I don't think you spoke at all about becoming a nominator and the petition and the signatures that are required. And I think that that's really important to cover during this call. I have another question in response to Eleanor Elizabeth. You said we decided to eliminate the questionnaire, and in response to another question, I think from Eric Jacobson, you said something about a decision had been made, and you said we decided. I'm just wondering, for the sake of transparency, whether you might also provide us with a complete list of individuals involved in decisions that have been made so far in this 2023 election.
So I probably misspoke. What I meant by we is because it's not like I decided to remove the questionnaire, but I had to ask Otis to pull it down. So I misspoke. I decided to pull down the questionnaire, and nobody else is actually helping me to make any type of decision about this election. I'm on my own. In terms of the people that I'm actively working with, once we start to get campaign violations coming through complaints, I'll be actively working with Craig. Craig, we did actually briefly work together on revamping the current fair campaign provisions. And then the only other person is a technical assistant to help me just make sure I keep track of voicemails. And her name is Carolyn Smith. And she's actually someone that I know that I've worked with in the past, who has nothing to do with Pacifica whatsoever, approved by the ED, but she hasn't. She started a little bit, but there haven't been very many voicemails coming in yet. So, yeah.
And then the first part of my question was if you could just explain to people how they become.
Oh, yeah, the nominations. Yeah. So the nominator registration has been streamlined. It's online. You click just like a candidate would and fill out a registration form, and then I get a notification, and then I basically, this as I do with each candidate, I take that name, I put it into the spreadsheet that then needs to be verified by the membership department. As soon as they give me the green light, I go back to the back end of the nominator / candidate registration system and click eligible. And then that person, when they sign in, they have a list of names where they just check a box next to the candidate that they want to nominate. And there is a page online actually that has screenshots of this process. It's very straightforward. If we've been doing this now, I think for three cycles. And it's great because it's very easy, to do. It's literally just clicking boxes. And if anybody has issues with it, just please contact me and, you know, I'll get on the phone with them or a Zoom call or, and we'll work it out. But it's pretty accessible.
So I'm just wondering in terms of, the time that it takes, you're thinking of extending the date by which candidate packets are due. The elections committee did vote unanimously or to recommend to you that the date by which the candidate packets are due be extended by 7 days. Have you taken that into consideration? And when will you?
So I'm not going to. Yeah. I mean, I understand that, but I'm not going to extend officially anything unless I have to. Because it's human nature to procrastinate. If people know that they have one more week, they're going to wait that one more week. And I don't want them to. There's a deadline, I think it's feasible to ask people to write a paragraph and to fill out a profile. And I think it's feasible for people who want to become nominators, again, to just register and click some boxes. Now, obviously, ideally, this process would be much more expansive and we would be reaching out to the community as a whole. But for this election, it's just simply not going to become something that it has never been in the past. It's unrealistic to think that way. So, and even with a 1 week extension, it won't happen. Even with a 1 month extension, it won't happen. You would think that everybody who's working on the election committee would have been inspiring people to run for the board throughout these past 2 years. It's not that this process started on June 1st. Everybody knows that there are these seats that are, even though we didn't have an election, we knew at some point, right, that there was going to be an election process. So this is a much longer term issue and a much broader issue than just having me, the solution is not just extending for a week, right? It's a much longer, greater solution, issue, right? That requires much more time. Okay. So. Let's move on to the other hands that are up. We have still
another question.
Yes, sorry. Who was who just spoke?
Sue Cohen Johnson. Okay, I have another question.
Go for it.
The Fair Actions. I forget what it's called. The Fair Activities. Campaign activities. I have a KPFK website with a disclaimer saying it's nothing to do with Pacifica or official websites. And I have a blog the same way. So would I be free to campaign for myself on these things or not?
You understand? So, sorry, you have your own personal website and your own mailing list. Those have nothing to do with Pacifica, right?
Also a Facebook group.
That's your.
But it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not under my name. It's under KPFK Los Angeles 90.7 FM, which is not to be confused with the official website.
Then that's a gray area, and I think a disclaimer is necessary because anything that's using the call letters, people might interpret that as official. So,
well, the disclaimer is up front on both of them.
Oh, okay. Well, if the disclaimer is there, there's no reason why you shouldn't campaign for yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. And I'm going to have to wrap this up pretty soon. So let's get through these last few questions that we might have here. So I have a hand raised by Eric Jacobson, James Sagerton, and I think those are. Oh no, and Carol still. Oh no, no hand raised there. Okay, so James, do you have another question?
I do. This will actually be my first question.
Oh,
did I hear you say, it's a two-part question. First is, did I hear you say that everyone running will be running for a three-year term, and in the following year, there will be another election where everybody runs for a three-year term, which I believe
Go for it.
Oh, I heard somebody's answering. However, when we postponed term limits, we said that the terms of the people who should have normally been termed out were over, and that was the reason we had to postpone the term limits, because the bylaws don't provide for runners-up to fill those positions. The bylaws list the reasons runners-up fill positions, and not having an election is not one of them. So we said that those terms are over, and therefore the logic was, which we stated at the time, that the people who continued to serve would be serving the first year of the next term, and therefore you would think the people in this election, some of them would be running for a two-year term. However, if this is a solution to the problem that results from that, especially, you know, it's bad enough when people die or they don't attend, and or they take a political position and they're no longer a member. But when you have a disturbance like not having an election, and a mass number of people get out of sync with the three-year terms and the term outs, so that you have then people, you know, running for election who have only a two or a one-year term to serve before they reach their six-year term limit. Was this solution taking that into consideration, so that you'd have clean three-year terms this time and next time, and that disruption would not occur?
I'm sorry to raise a question here, but if I'm not mistaken, James, the PNB is the organizing working group to address the impact of election delays on terms.
Thank you, Susan, but I'm asking the election supervisor a specific question about what she said. Right.
The point of personal privilege, would whoever has 713-805-5661 please mute? They're really disrupting the audio.
Thank you. So from my understanding, oh yeah, I think there still is a lot of disruption. Let me see if I can deal with that on my end. Okay, something happened there. It's still.
It's coming from James.
Oh, got it. Perfect. Okay, so to reiterate what I said, so 3-year terms is the default, right? Now, if somebody is termed out because they hit that 6-year mark, they're termed out. There's no exception. There's no, in my world anyway, the way that I'm understanding this, I think probably one of the most important things to make sure that we follow is people not extending past those 6 years, right? So the 3-year only applies to people who can actually, right, fill those 3 years. And depending on the individual, they're going to be seated. I think there might even be a situation where somebody might only be seated for 1 year. So it's going to be based on that individual, right? So because, for example, if somebody came in midterm as a runner up, right, and they filled somebody's vacant seat and they were seated 2 years out of the three, and then this, you know, they would only be able to, and they're running again this year, for 1 year, I guess, you know, that's their choice to run for 1 year, but we do need to be very clear that, you know, come those 6 years, you know, they have their seat is either going to become vacant. taken and filled by the LSB, or by, and if the LSB decides to fill with a runner up, right, then, you know, that is what's going to happen, or the seat remains vacant.
Renee, I understand what you're saying about that. That's the individual term limits, and I get that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, and I think you answered it. Everybody who runs in this election will be running for a 3-year term, assuming they can fill it, or for whatever amount of that term they are able to fill, considering their own personal accumulation of term.
That's my understanding. Now, of course, the PMB can rewrite, you know, rewrite this, right? But well, my understanding is I'm treating this.
Yeah.
Like a regular election, I'm not treating it as a, I'm not taking into account the skipped year, if that makes
sense. Okay, there is a motion in front of the PMB to rewrite it in exactly the way you're doing it. And if that turns out to be a good way to avoid the problem that I was trying to articulate, maybe not so well, but I tried to articulate it at the beginning of this question, that's all good and I'll support that. And so I'll just do a little more research and figure out if that solves the problem. Thanks, Renee.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
No problem. I think there's one more hand, and I think we'll then end.
Hello, Renee.
Yes.
Hello, Renee. This is Andrew Weiss. May I go?
Yes. Yes, you can go.
Yes. I haven't spoken. I've been on the call since the beginning. I just want to identify myself. Andrew Weiss, KPFK listener member. And can you announce the newsletter that is being sent out to everybody to list their events regarding the elections? And if appropriate, can you announce that you will be appearing on the Pacifica Listener Forum this coming Friday? And we will be announcing it through that event as well. But I want to let everybody know so everybody has the opportunity to participate. And quickly, our email address is PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com for folks who would like to participate at that event. Thank you, Renee.
No problem. Yeah, so we put out a e-campaign to basically allow people to submit events, and there's a timeline associated to the submission of those events. We're going to be doing a weekly newsletter, or e-campaign rather, every Tuesday for the rest of the delegate election. And the first deadline is this Monday for Tuesday, but then every week the deadline is going to fall on a Friday. And if you haven't gotten this email, feel free to write me an email directly, NES@pacifica.org, so I can put you on the list in constant contact so that you can get these.
You froze, Renee.
I think we should up there.
There was one other hand raised before Andrew Weiss jumped in, and that was someone with the 248-909, if I might call on him since Renee is frozen.
That's Beth. Shall I wait for Renee?
She said we were closing because everyone's already spoken.
Well, she was about to recognize Beth when Andrew jumped in.
Thank you, Myla. Is she still frozen?
Yes.
Well, I'll speak now. I assume that this is being recorded, and so if necessary, I don't know whether she can hear me when she's frozen or not, but if necessary, at least it'll be on the recording. But so I was elected for the first time 3.5 years ago, meaning that I should have had the opportunity to run for re-election last year, and I didn't get to because Pacifica couldn't afford it. So I'm still in my first term ever, my rookie term. And I assume I will be running, and I'm assuming that, well, it's clear that my time will be up after the next 2.5 years, provided that I win another term. And at that, so I'm not concerned about myself. I'm clear about where I am and how long I have left and what I need to do and all of that. My concern is that when my term is up, that seat would normally, under normal process, be filled by an election, by a new election, and that leaving it up to a runners-up list that we're very likely won't be very deep this time because we have such an attenuated period to recruit people. First, we're going to make that list of runners-up shorter, and then we're going to anticipate exhausting it, really, before we get through to the next scheduled election. So I hope we rethink that. I think we need to have a regularly scheduled, we need to get the election cycle back into the regular rhythm so that when these, what would have been my next year's term is up, that we will have an election scheduled for then. I'll bring it up on the board too.
If you want me and talk about this further, you know, reach out to me. But I think we should wrap it up now. Again, my email is nes@pacific.org. And and I appreciate everybody coming on.
Eleanor's been waiting a long time.
I just have one sentence.
I'm so sorry, Eleanor, but we need to.
If someone decides to run by June 30th, they might not get 50 nominations by then.
Thank you.
Tell them not to give up. I did it in less than a day that last time, which was my first time. So don't give up. Persist.
And just write to me if anybody has any issues. I'll help people. I can enter the data for them. It's not an issue. Just reach out to me directly. I hope everybody heard that.
I heard it.
Okay, great. Let's see. And I think somebody wanted to say, can we save this chat? Otis, if you're on here, can you save the chat? Make sure you save the chat because I got disconnected really briefly there. And if you could save the chat, that would be great. If he's still on here. Yes, I see him.
Thank you, Renee.
Okay.
Thank you for this. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Have a good Saturday.
Thank you for having this meeting.
Thanks, Renee.
Thank you. All right. Bye.